Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
We're starting a brand new series today. We finished the Sermon on the Mount with a bang last week, and I've got to tell you that if you didn't hear the message from last week, you got to hear the message from last week. You got the message. It had a number of people's names on it. Most of them were here, but some of them were not. It will encourage for the days ahead, definitely. So this series about being the body, you know, God had intentions for the family. And unfortunately, for many, the family did not turn out to be the place that you learn to receive love and give love. And it did not turn out to be a place where the vulnerable were protected and taught and loved. And so God, in his wisdom, he created a bigger family, the church, where for many whose experience in their natural family didn't turn out to be what God intended for it to be, those people can come into this family and receive healing from what they did not get or wrong things that they did get in their other family. And they can find a safe place where the vulnerable are protected. They can find a place to learn to receive love and learn to give love. And that really is God's intention for the church family, that we be for each other that kind of place. And we here in this body, we are trying to follow the Lord's leading and becoming that kind of a place where many can be healed, where many can find love. They can find all kinds of healing and wholeness, and then turn around and give that away. So this family that we're a part of, it should just keep growing. And that is God's intent. That as we become healed and whole and people who receive love and who give love to God, and then we give love to each other, that there will be an overflow in that, and it will overflow to the rest of the city. And that's what God wants. So the other thing that the Lord has kind of been speaking to me about, and I have a feeling that he's correcting some of my theology, and I don't have a problem with that, because my prayer is that, Lord, when I'm wrong, show me, because I don't want to lead people in a wrong way. And, you know, I've been thinking about eschatology a lot lately, and some of you have seen some of the prophetic interpretation that's coming out recently, and some of the signs that have been uncovered that are going to be happening in the next 3.5 years. And, you know, the thought that Jesus may actually come back in 3.5 years is kind of astounding. Although I've been at that place before in my life. I mean, I remember this is probably 10 years ago, when we used to get the Vineyard CD of the quarter, and it was time to update our subscription, and it was cheaper if you got 3 years. But I remember thinking, well, I don't even know if we're going to still be here in 3 years. So why would I want to extend it out that long? But the Lord wants us to have a longer-term view of the family that he's put us in. Okay, and one of the things that I think the Lord's kind of been speaking to me about is the idea of the millennium. And I am going to eventually get back to the message today, but actually this I always want to put things in context, and this is sort of part of the bigger context of being the body of Christ. That I've tended to have an amillennial view in my eschatology, my view of the end times, and I think the Lord's been kind of challenging that with the idea that there may actually be a literal 1,000-year time of rest on the earth. And you know, that if that is true. And just go with me for a minute, and let's assume that is true. And this has been one of the historical views of the Christian church, that Jesus comes back and he comes to the earth, and then there's a 1,000-year reign on the earth where much of the earth is put back in order by the people of God. And here is my thing, that if I'm not saying this is the case, but even if Jesus were to come back in 3.5 years, all of us here, I think all of us here, we will have another 1,000 years to work together in this city to completely bring forth the government of God and his justice. And so we need to look at each other that way. That Dan and Kim, you know, we're going to be great friends and working together for at least another 1,000 years before we even start eternity. Wow. That kind of changes things. And I think the reality is that, you know, whatever we can accomplish in bringing forth the kingdom of God, the justice of God, the government of God in our city, in the time that we have left before Jesus returns, you know, we're going to have that much of a jump start on the millennium. So it's not time to dig a foxhole and say, man, if Jesus is going to come back that quickly, I think I can live through just about anything for that long. No. He does not want us to have a foxhole mentality. But he also wants us to look at one another differently. That, you know, we're not just acquaintances that we see on Sunday and, you know, maybe someday if all this eternity stuff actually does play out, maybe our clouds that we're playing harps on will bump into one another once in a while. No. There is going to be real work for us to do for a very long time. And so the thing is, we need to learn to get along now. And all that time will be better. You see what I mean? Yeah. And even, you know, the resources that we may think we own or have control over, you know, they're really for the benefit of everybody. Yeah. And our culture tends to be one that's very individualistic, and now we're coming back to the message right now. And I want to start this series by talking about the idea of honor. And honor used to be a pretty important value in families. Fathers used to teach their sons about honoring elders, about honoring women, about what it looked like to live honorably. And to fulfill a sense of duty that was higher than the individual. And in our culture, we have tended to raise up the idea of the individual as ultimate. And that is a false idea. It is not a biblical idea. The biblical ultimate is community. And the Lord desires for us to enjoy a type of community that is way better than the rest of the world can offer. But much of the church never gets there because they don't know how. And it goes back to, and I have a slide for this, Bev, the one that we've been talking about for a number of weeks, how you can't use the methods of one kingdom to access the resources of another kingdom. That if we want the end of true biblical community, then we've got to do things that the Bible tells us to do in order to have that kind of community. I think a lot of the church has been in this the definition of what is it when you keep doing the same thing and you expect different results? Yeah, you know what that is. So a lot of people, they keep going from church to church trying to find this community because they think eventually they're going to find a place where actually everybody will be nice to them and love them, and they will have this ideal of community that they think they should have. Well, in order to get the idea of community that the Bible says we should have, there are some conditions. There are some costs. It's not all me, me, me. It's you, you, you. And I, most of you who've been on a mission trip to South Dakota, you've heard this message from Mike Bickle that he gave, man, about 7 or 8 years ago now. But to this day, it's the best message I've ever heard about true Christian community. And he says, you will never have true Christian community if you're not a people who operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit together, giving and receiving ministry. And if you don't serve together. And actually love one another. So you have the ingredient of the Holy Spirit there. That we have that going. We let the Holy Spirit operate here, and we minister to one another. We give and receive in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to provide opportunities for everybody to serve, and it's our desire to find a place for everyone to serve so that as you serve together with a group of people, relationships are built. And then there's the time and the love element that makes all that work. And if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit actually working, you just can't have true biblical community, because it ends up being something that is either recreation-based or common interest-based or popularity-based that mirrors what the world has. And it's not what God wants. So if you want true biblical community, you got to be giving and receiving all those elements together. And then the amazing thing is it just happens. You start serving with people, and you can serve people in the church together, you can serve people outside the church together, and this community, it just happens. Suddenly you have some real kingdom friendships over a period of time that will stand the test of time. And, you know, I've been pursuing this thing for a lot of years. And for someone to have some real kingdom friendships that last 10 years, if you can have two or three that last that long, you're blessed. And if you can have five or six, man, you are really blessed, and you've been doing some things right. And this is where God wants us to go. So this really is not turning out to be the message that I thought I was going to give today. But I feel like what I need to do is kind of cast vision of what is possible. And I feel like the Lord's saying right now, more than you have experienced is possible. So let's go on this journey together. And, you know, a lot of times when the elders get together, we pray this prayer that the Lord would add to and subtract from this body as he desires. Because, you know, as a body, and this is one of the reasons that we did the Vineyard 101 groups recently, as a body, we are going somewhere. And if you like where we're going and the way that we're getting there, then hop in the boat and here's an oar and let's go together. And, you know, it's really awesome to me that we, after 5.5 years, we have some inertia. That, you know, there's a little bit of a wake because we have been going somewhere, and that's still where we're headed. But there occasionally people come here and, you know, they really don't want to go there. They'd rather go here. And they kind of like some of what's happening here, so they would rather just turn the boat. If we would just, you know, go here instead of there, then they would be happy. And, you know, our message has been, you know, there may be another church that is going there. And you probably should find that church. But us, we're going here. And if you want to go there, you are more than welcome to join us and go there with us. And we will enjoy the journey together. And to think that this journey that we're on together may actually last 1,000 years. That, and we'll still get to enjoy it together for 1,000 years. That kind of, that's been, the Lord's been working on my thinking on that. And I like the sound of that. Because I could hang out with you guys for 1,000 years. And imagine how much we could get done without the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, wow. That would be really cool. And I also, I don't want you to get the idea that I think we're the only church that's going the right place in the right way. Because I don't think that. I think God has a specific call and purpose for this church to go where he's showing us to go in the way that he's showing us to go there. And if we're not true to that, then we're doing something wrong. But we certainly can't judge another body and say, well, you should be going where we're going. Because God has so many purposes. And he loves all of his people. And the bride is wonderfully diverse. And he's got purposes and callings for every church where the truth is proclaimed and Jesus is loved and appreciated. And that's why not everybody who is looking for a church in Cheyenne do I say, oh, you got to come to our church. Because I know there are people that I know who will fit better somewhere else. And that's okay. So, we were going to talk about honor today. And I think I do want to at least begin a little bit about that. Because it begins, the first time the word honor is used in the Bible is actually during the plagues in Egypt, in a conversation between Moses and Pharaoh. But we're not going to focus on that one. We're going to focus on the second use of the word honor, and that is in the Ten Commandments. One that we are all familiar with. And I think I can safely say, all have broken at one time or another. And that commandment, the fifth commandment, is Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And that is a commandment with a promise. And so many people in our day are trying to do all kinds of crazy stuff to live longer. And it's been something that people over the centuries have wanted to do. Remember, was it Ponce de Leon who was searching for the fountain of youth? Remember that? you probably remember better, at least those of you who are about my age, you remember the Indiana Jones movie about the search for the Holy Grail, because if you could just drink the water out of the Grail, then you'd live forever. Well, you know, those are pretty questionable pursuits at best. But this is the truth of God right here. If you want a long life, honor your father and mother. So what does that look like? Well, I was really hoping that as I dug into the Hebrew and Greek words for honor, that there would be some revelation for me of how to do this better. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit disappointed. The Hebrew word that's translated honor in this verse literally means to be heavy or to weigh heavily. And you know, the idea is you know when something is weighing heavily upon you, upon your soul. You know that. It is usually something that you're worried about. Well, that's the idea of honor. We should care enough about honoring our parents that our relationship with them weighs heavily upon us. That's the idea that's being communicated. So to weigh heavily, to honor, to show honor is what's being communicated. So it's like the Lord is saying, take very seriously the quality of relationship you have with your parents. And I think I can tell this story without offending my wife, because it's about her, and she's told the story before. And it wasn't long after we were married that her parents got divorced, and it was not a nice situation. And she became really emotionally estranged from her father because of this. And she didn't smile very much for like a few years, if you can imagine that. And I would occasionally say something about reconciling, and it would not go well. I would not see that smile for a few days. But finally, the Lord. He always wants our wholeness more than we do. He always wants our freedom more than we do. He paid a very high price for it. And so the Lord spoke to Joy. And finally, one day she came to me and said, I think I have to go see my dad. That day, a lot of things changed in our house. Because she decided to obey this commandment. It worked a lot better when God spoke to her. But she began to grow again. Joy was restored to our house. And blessing was restored to our house. It was a big deal. And I don't think I understood how big a deal it was until then. So she did reconcile with her father and honored him. And this is the thing about God's view of honor. It's never about whether the person deserves it or not. God just wants us to give it. Because honor is about position. And I think I'm going to have to get into that next week or when I teach again. But when we're in the body together, we're each in a position where it's our responsibility to honor one another. Whether at that moment we actually deserve it or not. Because this is part of living according to God's ways. And we know about how his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Mm-hmm. If we're going to maintain a kind of biblical community together, we need to follow God's ways with each other. Whether we, at the moment, deserve it or not. So, I feel like the Lord is doing something right now. I really had no idea that this message was going to go this way. But Lord, I ask you to bring forth a yes in people's hearts this morning. Because I think there are a lot of people who are struggling with obeying this commandment today. And the Lord is saying that if you'll just say yes today, I'll walk you through whatever we need to do to get there. So I want to pray, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond, because the Lord does want to do some things this morning. He wants to bring some healing to relationships. And I'm telling you that your life consists of your relationships and the quality of them. That is what your life consists of. And we're going to hit that in a lot more detail next time. But this is a beginning. So, Father, I just thank you for your great wisdom. Lord, you know what to do. You know how to do it. And Lord, right now I pray over the people who are here and listening. I pray for those who you have brought conviction upon this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would just open up their clenched fists so they can let go. I ask you to put a yes in their heart. And I ask you to even begin to heal right now. within them and within whoever the other person is on the other end of this. And that you'd walk them through this. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and not look around. And if the Lord is dealing with you and you would just say yes, I'm going to ask you to raise up your hand a little bit and just pull it back down. Lord, thank you for those yeses. And I ask you to bring forth reconciliation and restoration in each heart and each relationship. You're so good. Lord, just let your love come. Let your love fall on each person right now and just melt. Melt away shame and regret right now in Jesus' name. Just restore joy now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You do such good work. I just ask you to bless each person. Bless each person who has some work to do. I ask you to go before them. I ask you to guide every action and give them every word that's needed to bring reconciliation and healing. In Jesus' name. I just ask, Lord, that you'd bless each person who is here today. That you'd go with us. That you'd give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the goodness and the wisdom of your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen.